Amen. So Acts chapter 13, we're going to read verses 2 through 15. But I titled this, Direction from the Holy Spirit Doesn't Imply Problem-Free. Direction from the Holy Spirit doesn't imply problem-free. So I'm hoping to correct the fallacy that is in some of our minds that if I'm listening to the Lord and if I'm doing His will and I'm following after Him, the Bible says in Galatians, keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And if I'm doing that, somehow we have this mindset that thinks that everything ought to go good. Everything should be smooth sailing because I'm following the Lord. That is so erroneous. That is just wrong thinking. If you are following Jesus, if you are trying your best to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, you have a target on your head. And the devil is taking pot shots at you all the time. And so we're going to read this and then pick out some things that I feel like the Lord has asked me to share with this body. So in verse 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. Verse 3, I don't have this in my sermon, but fasting and pray is still in style. It has not gone away, right? You should pray always. And you ought to fast occasionally. Amen? And boy, that got a lot of excitement, didn't it? Woohoo! Go, Pastor, go! Okay, let's just go on then. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. From there, they set sail to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. That's John Mark. Now, when they had gone through the island to Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, nothing to do with the Christ. Bar means son, and Jesus was a very popular name, so it really means son of Jesus, who was with the proconsul, or the governor, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man had called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. Now, Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, looked intently at him and said, O fool of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. Immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. The proconsul believed, and he saw what had been done, was being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos to Perga and Pamphylia, they and John departed from them, returning to Jerusalem. But when they came to Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after reading the law and the prophets, for the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Don't you like that? Say on. Will somebody say that to me today? Say on. Okay, you got it, buddy. Set you up, didn't I? Father God, we just come before you today. Lord, it's not so matter much of matter what I say. It matters what you say. So, Lord, I give you permission to say on today, Father, to speak by your Holy Spirit through me, Lord. Just speak the words of life, God. Let us be attentive today to what you are sowing into our hearts. God, we bind the enemy right now from distractions. We bind the enemy, Father, from not allowing the seed to penetrate the heart. And I pray, Father, Lord, that the soil has been turned over. Lord, it's ready to receive the word today. And let the word, Lord, bear fruit in our heart, God. Bear righteousness. Bear good things of God into us, Father. I pray, God, that deliverance would happen in this place, Lord. That you would set the captives free today to worship you. Father, we sang the song about how shame is removed, Lord. And I believe, Lord, you want to remove shame today, God. You want to remove the past from our minds, Lord, so that we go free in Christ and to set our sail in a new direction, Lord. So, God, I just pray for your anointing and for your words, Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus was very honest with his disciples. In John 16, verse 33, he said, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you'll have peace." Anybody want that? In Jesus we have peace. He said, "But in this world you're going to have tribulation." Now that's just as much a word from the Lord as John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Right? This is a word from the Lord to us to be forewarned. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. Something like that. So you can be prepared for difficulties when you know the word. So he says, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to receive that today. I don't know what you're going through. It may be something that you're going through right now. It may be something that you're getting ready to go through. But I believe the Lord has a word for us today. Be of good cheer. You're not alone. You're not going through this battle by yourself. And you're an overcomer in Christ Jesus. So there was a prophetic word given to the church. And it says, separate Barnabas and Saul, where they can accomplish the work that I have called them to do. Not the work that you're calling them to do, not the work that they're thinking they're supposed to do, but the work that I have specifically called them to do. And so they were getting ready to be sent out by the church. They anointed them, laid hands on them, and prayed for them. And the next thing you see, John Mark went with them. Now, the Holy Spirit didn't say specifically that John Mark was supposed to go. It doesn't say he wasn't supposed to go, so we don't know. But anyway, they took John Mark with them, and later on we find out he didn't last very long. So they go to Salamis, and they preach the word to the Jews in the synagogues, and it seems to be uneventful. There's not much happening. It just doesn't tell us yay or nay. But at Paphos, the governor, Sergius, I think it's interesting that the Word of God calls him an intelligent man. So Sergius Paulus invited Barnabas and Saul, said, "I want you guys to come over to the court where I stay." And he said, "Present the word. I want to hear your message." And so there was a sorcerer named Elymas, and the Bible says that Elymas withstood them. Now the word withstood in the Greek, I can't pronounce it, but it's the same word that we get antihistamine from. And antihistamine blocks the histamine, the germ that's going to cause you all kinds of trouble in your head, right? So you take an antihistamine to stop that. So Elymas withstood the gospel. He had a purpose in his mind saying, "I don't want the governor to receive the word." In other words, here's what I think was going on. I have influence with the governor, and I don't want him to be influenced by anyone else. I want to keep his ear, so I don't want him to hear the gospel. If he hears the gospel, he may totally change. So he withstood Paul to the point that Paul said something pretty forceful to him. He says, "Oh, fool of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil." I don't know, but if somebody greets you like that, that's not a compliment, right? And he says, "You're an enemy of all righteous." My goodness. It's the exact opposite of who we are. We are not enemies of the righteous. We are friends of the righteous. He says, "Will you not cease perverting the straight way of the Lord?" And then he pronounced this judgment over him that he would be temporarily blind. And through all that, now look at this. The guy that was trying to hold back the gospel, God used to be an example so that the governor would see the hand of God and hear the word of God. And the Bible says he believed the report. He believed the words of of Paul. So they go to Perga, and that's where John Mark leaves them. Then they go to Antioch, not the same Antioch that we studied the other day, but this is Pisidia. And he preached the word to the Jews, and they said, that's where they said, say on. If you guys got a word, say on. And Paul begins to teach them, and he goes way back in history, because they were all Jews, and he begins to give them a history lesson. He started with the foundation that he knew they believed. And he says, so he shows how God has been faithful up till then. And he says that the message that Jesus preached to you is forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. Now you may think, well, they're Jews. They understood that. No, no. They didn't know forgiveness of sin. They knew covering for sin. See, one man, the high priest, could go into the presence of God one time a year, and he'd make an atonement for sin so that it would be a covering for their sin. But it would not remove their sin. But Jesus came preaching forgiveness of sin. In other words, God can take it away. You'll not be responsible for it anymore. He'll forgive you for sin. He'll justify your life. I love the term justification. It means made righteous. Hallelujah. Sign me up for that one, right? You're not righteous in your own self. You're not righteous in your own thoughts. Thank God we have the mind of Christ, right? We're righteous because he gave us righteousness as his gift to us. They go to Iconium, and there they preach, and as Paul is preaching, they saw a man and who was crippled, the Bible said, from birth. And Paul looked at him, and he saw something in his eyes that this man had the ability to believe God. There was faith in his heart. Now, how do you see that? Only by the Spirit. The Spirit revealed to him that this man has faith to believe, calls him out and prays over him. The man is healed. The town had to rejoice, right? Doesn't tell us much about that. But then the next day or sometime soon, other people came to the city, and they began to stir up commotion there to the point that instead of rejoicing over what God was doing, they stoned Paul, drug him out to the city limits because they thought he was dead. And so, isn't that funny? People are so fickle sometimes. I would think that if people saw a genuine miracle, you know, the governor saw a miracle and heard the teaching of the Lord and repented and believed, right? But these people saw a miracle and did a flip-flop. They, because people came in, stirred them up on the opposite. So they stoned Paul, dragged him to the city, believing that he was dead. And the Bible says the disciples gathered around him. It doesn't say they prayed for him. It doesn't say they did anything for him. But they just gathered around him. Now you listen to me for just a second. The fact that you are in the room makes it possible for God to touch you. It doesn't matter if we lay hands on you, pray for you. We don't have to do a thing. The fact that we are together, the disciples just gathered around, and the Bible said, Paul stood up. Come up. He didn't ask for Tylenol. He didn't say, man, I hurt. He just said, let's go back to the city. He gets up, walks back into the city as a testament to those people. Look what God has done. You thought I was dead, but he called me alive. Why? Because I've got a job to do. I really believe sometimes we're waiting for something to happen. We're waiting for a stir. We're waiting for a goosebump or something like that. So to think God's ministering to it, don't take it. I'm telling you, the fact that we've gathered together, coming into unity and let the Spirit of God, that's his business. Let him touch people. Let him heal and make whole. Amen. I don't know if you've ever been in a service where God touched you, but nobody prayed for you. Right? God doesn't need a man. Doesn't need a woman. God is supernatural. He can change your life. You know, God can drop a word in your heart that will change your life, and he can do it supernaturally for you. Hallelujah. So the few points that that I've gathered together today, felt like the Lord wanted me to speak to you, is being led by the Holy Spirit sure doesn't mean that you're problem free. But how you face your problems is critically important. How you face difficulty mentally, emotionally, you know, most of us are big whiners. We like pity parties. And so when we go through difficulty, we tend to turn all of our thoughts inward. And everything becomes about us, right? Rather than saying something like this, God, are you wanting to teach me today? Are you trying to, is there something I'm to learn through this difficult situation? And I'm going to tell you, most of the time there is. So you know where I'm going. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 5. Now verse 5 is a verse that we pull out of context. It says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and abradeth not. And I believe that all the way around. I believe that any time that you need wisdom, God's willing to share. But I want you to get today what it's specifically saying in the Word, okay? So he says, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The better word there is endurance. The Greek word is hupomono, and it means staying power. Folks, if you've not noticed now, God has not called us to run a sprint. We're in a long-distance race. He that endures to the end shall be saved, is what the Word of God says. So what do we need in our life? We need endurance. So he says, but let patience have its perfect work. Let endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach. In other words, without mocking or ridiculing, it'll be given to him. So when you're going through difficulty, you can either soul up, which we do often. You can start whining. You can say, why am I going through this thing again? Or you can say, I need wisdom. That's really the word. I'm telling you, the Lord is very specific here. He's, when you're going through difficulty, you need endurance. You need that staying power. I've talked to you many, many times, between the time you pray and the time you receive, there's a space of time, and oftentimes it's a long space of time, and in this space of time, you have to have faith. You have to have endurance. Don't let your words bite you. Well, not for sure where that come from, but my words have definitely bit me before, right? In other words, you have prayed a prayer of faith. Now keep your mouth shut. Be careful what you speak when you're in the middle of this. And if you're going through something difficult, maybe a sickness, maybe a divorce, maybe something that you just didn't expect. It's just that wasn't on your radar. And you definitely didn't think it was on God's radar. So it's made you doubt God. God, are you even in this? Oftentimes he is. Oftentimes, God is in the difficulty, and he's wanting you, he's developing you. He talks about how we are like silver that has to go through the fire, so the ingredients that are not good can be burned up. They'll come to the top, and the silversmith will take them away. That is caused from the fire. So what do we do? We're too busy whining and talking about our problems. Instead of the Word of God says, have the faith of God and speak to the mountain. We don't speak to the mountain. We're speaking about the mountain. It's a different frame of mind. It's a different attitude. So you mean to tell me, Pastor, that if I change my attitude, it'd change the thing I'm going through? Absolutely. Absolutely, it changes everything. Because all of a sudden, in the thing that oftentimes takes you away from God, you realize God is in it. And you're not moving from God, you're moving to God. You are my strength. You are my deliverer. You're my refuge, a present help in the time of trouble. You getting that? I mean, God wants to deliver you. God wants to teach you. God wants you to learn. Why? Because next time you go through it, you ever had the same struggles over and over? Why? Maybe you fail in the test, baby. Right? How about we do things different this time? How about we learn from our difficulty? How about we praise God on the bad days? My mother, one time when she was still living, I was 17 years old. I was young. I was still in college. And I'd go from college to my job. I'd have 15 minutes. I'd grab a bag of Frito corn chips. I lived on Frito corn chips. And barbecue. And so I would grab these corn chips, and that would be my lunch, and I'd go to my job, and I'd work all afternoon. I walked out, and my car, my tire was flat. And, you know, that's always disturbing, right? But I thought, you know what? I'm not going to let this steal my joy. And I just began to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for an opportunity. And I just changed that tire. Look at it. I still got to work in time. Now, I only had like 20 minutes from my last class to my work. It just so happened that I had an aunt that had a flat tire that day too. Now, I didn't know it, but my mother experienced. She wasn't a believer, and it messed her day up. Mom said she was cussing and moving and just griping, and she was not pleasant to be with. And my mom brought that to my attention. She said, it's amazing the difference. Two people has a flat tire. It's amazing the difference. Why is it because I'm so good? No, I'm not good now, and I wasn't good at 17. But I allowed God into my difficult situation. Does that make sense? I'm telling you, in difficult times, we don't run from Him, we run to Him. Lord, I need wisdom on this. You know, I've been a tithe payer all my life, and I believe in the promises of God. But every so often, even tithe payers will have tight times. Well, times will get difficult financially. Why? Because the devil's squeezing you. He wants to see, will you stay in faith? Will you really believe God? Well, that's not the time to quit giving. It's the time to give more. I remember she was working. She worked 27 years at a factory. Not a factory. It's Hawaiian Tropic. And she was an accounts payable manager. And they sold to a company and left Murray. So she lost her job after 27 years. And I remember in prayer, the Lord says, the devil's trying to scare you, trying to intimidate you. You know, what do you do when you lose half your income? Right. Well, tithing's a pretty big chunk. Are you going to quit tithing? You going to quit giving to the Lord? And the Lord, it just made me mad. And I thought, oh, that old stinking devil. And I thought, well, Lord, I'll show the devil. I'll just give 20%. Instead of 10%. And for about the next 3 years, we gave double our tithes. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. I'm telling you, you can. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on Him. Right? God is faithful. Just live it out. Call Him into your circumstances. We need staying power, folks. In Psalms 30. 4 verse 17 says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears. It doesn't matter what you feel. The Lord hears you when you cry out. He said, but I'm not very righteous. Are you born again? If you are born again, you are righteous. Right? Not because you're good, because of Jesus. Jesus gave you, He took your sin and He gave you His righteousness. So when you cry out to the Lord hears. And listen to this. And He delivers them out of all of their trouble. Not part of their trouble. Not a few of their troubles. Not if He's having a good day. He delivers them from all of their trouble. The second thing is I really sort of want to camp here for just a little while. Satan has power and devices to which you should be aware. Most of us know Jeremiah 29:11. The Lord has plans for you, plans to prosper, plans to give you a hope in a future. We know that. But what the church doesn't talk about is the devil's got plans for you too. Now, I don't like to glorify him, but the Bible says don't be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. Now, we are not to be afraid of the devil, but we need to know how he works. And so you need to understand the devil's a schemer. He is setting traps for you every day for you to fall. And so if you're aware, then we're able to plead the blood of Jesus over ourselves. We're aware of his devices. And so it's not to edify him, but the devil is also an intimidator. So I've been going to church the last couple of days over 218. They're in a crusade. They're having it again tonight. If you hadn't been, he's a great preacher. You'll enjoy yourself. But he said, what did he say? I forgot what it was. He said this. He said, I'm amazed at how Christians can hear the voice of the devil without any difficulty, but they have problems hearing God's voice. Well, I thought, oh my goodness. And I know that to be true because as a pastor, you talk to a lot of people. The number one thing that I tell people regularly is you're listening to the wrong voice. You're listening to the voice of the enemy, not to the voice of your God. See, your God, the Bible says that God's thoughts towards you are more numerous than the sand. If you've been taught that God doesn't think about you, you're totally wrong. It doesn't line up with Scripture. And God's thoughts to you are good. They're not evil. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to be successful. He wants you to be triumphant. And the devil says, no, I'm going to stop it at all costs. The devil is bad, but God is good. Let's just get real simple with it, okay? The devil wants to take you out, but God wants you to succeed. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. I want Jesus. I don't know about you, but that song's right. Give me Jesus and give it to me all day long. I don't know why, but I'm juicy today, so I guess it's 1 Peter 5:8, he says, be sober. In other words, be calm. Doesn't mean not drinking alcohol. It means calm or circumspect. In other words, be aware of what's going on. And he says, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, your adversary, my adversary, the enemy of our soul, you hear me? He says, he walks around like a roaring lion. Doesn't say he is a roaring lion. It says he's like a roaring lion. He's got a loud bark, a loud roar. He is the master of intimidation. He wants you to just be afraid of him so it stops you in your track. You have nothing to fear because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He's already been defeated. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to take you out. Don't you know half of the body of Christ don't even believe there is a devil? How ignorant is that? Man, if you don't know there is one, you're not going to be suspecting that he's trying to steal from you. You know, the Bible says that as you leave today, Satan is going to try to steal the word of God out of your heart. Before it ever gets deep, he's going to try to steal that word. Don't let him. Come on. Don't let him steal from you. He wants to steal your finances. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your marriage. He wants to steal your kids. Tell him no. The word of God says resist him. We quote 5:8 all the time, but 5:9 says resist him. Come on, that's good. Someone put up a block. That sorcerer was resisting Paul. He was resisting the message. At times, we need to start resisting the devil. It says stand firm in your faith. Ephesians says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Had somebody write me a letter the other day. Yeah, it's always wonderful when I get these notes. And I guess I had been very demonstrative that day. She told me, she said, "You're strutting your feathers today, wasn't you? I think you have a pride problem." It's not a pride problem. Can I just tell you that? I don't do this for emotions. I don't do it to... this is so deep in me that sometimes delivering it just fires me up. And so I don't apologize for who I am. But listen to me, you need to be careful putting your hand to God's anointed. So he said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. You know what that tells me? There's a hierarchy in the kingdom of the devil. Just like there's a hierarchy in the kingdom of God, the devil, you may be dealing with a low-lying imp, just a little old low devil that's just growling at you all the time. And if you win that, he'll send a higher one to you. We're not dealing. A lot of times we think our problems are people. They're not people. It's the spirit behind the person. The devil is causing them to act in a certain way, trying to say things. That letter that person wrote me was straight from hell. There wasn't nothing good about it. And I'll guarantee you, but you know, it affected me. These things affect you. And Satan knows what affects you. And he'll use everything he can use to stop you. So you'll lay down. Don't lay down. Get up. If we kept going in Ephesians, he would say, so stand ye therefore. And when you've done all that you can do, just keep on standing. Hallelujah. Because he's already won the battle. Luke chapter 10. He tells his disciples, he says, I give you boys the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, above all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He said, but don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. But rather rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. That's why we rejoice. Ephesians 4:27 says, don't give place to the devil. So this is where I really felt like the Lord was speaking to me this morning early. And I felt like the Lord said, you have too many open doors. Where Satan has, you have allowed doors through ignorance, through other things. You know, ignorance just means lack of understanding. And sometimes we do things and we don't realize, I just opened the door for the enemy to come in and start attacking me. I told the church this morning, my mother, when I was probably 6 or 7 years old, my mother bought us a Ouija board. It's about the time they come out, and some of you don't even know what that is. Well, it's an instrument of the devil, and it is demonic. And so we played with it quite a bit. And so what she didn't realize is from that, me and my cousins started having seances. And we'd go into a closet, and we'd gather hands. Here, I'm a born-again, spirit-filled believer, but I'm ignorant as ignorant can be. And we're conjuring up spirits. And I'm thinking, it's getting awful quiet in this room, you know. And I finally opened my eyes and I saw a picture that we had over. It's a big old closet, a big old walk-in closet. And this picture that we had, all of a sudden, Abraham Lincoln's face was on this picture. And I looked around and all my cousins are gone. And I thought, that's pretty smart. And I'm a little nervous right at the moment. So I got out of Dodge. Later on, a few years later, even at church, we were levitating people on chairs. With two fingers, two of us would get up. He'd sit down, and we would let. I'm telling you, Satan has power. And we have opened doors to Satan through ignorance. And some of it is through behavior. You know, another term for alcohol is spirits. Drugs. Carrie Vine taught me a valuable lesson years ago. He says, you can get the drugs out of your flesh, out of your body, but to get them out of your mind takes a while. Amen. Why? We call that deliverance. We sang about shame being gone. That's a deliverance. You don't realize, but when you look at pornography, when you open that, that's opening a door for the devil. Hey, Pastor, you're starting to sound like the old-fashioned preachers. Well, I hope so. Maybe that's what we need is some old-fashioned preaching. There's some things that you ought not be doing. My sister-in-law said, you know, you talk about homosexuality and transgender in the church. Ooh, 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 ooh. Yeah, we know that's wrong. You talk about pornography and they get quiet. Right? The secret sin. Gossip. The secret sin. Lying. Not so secret. I heard this quote the other day, Adrian Rogers. He said, you're no more like the devil than when you're lying. Never more like the devil than when you're lying. Because it's his language. It's not the Christian's language. So what are we, today as we take communion, I hope you have some elements. If not, we'll make sure you do. We're going to pray that you close some doors, that God closes some doors for you. Thank you for your enthusiasm. And some of you are like, I don't know what that old boy is saying, but he's entertaining. 2 Peter chapter 2 through 9 says this. He says that he delivered the righteous man Lot, who was oppressed by filthy conduct of the wicked, for the righteous man dwelling among them tormented his soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. The fact that we live in the world, Tony Elkin says this all the time, dark's getting darker. It's true. I'm telling you, America is not the nation that we used to be. This world is not the way it used to be. There used to be a morality and a godliness to our nation that's no longer there. The preacher last night said, the day after the Twin Towers went down, the churches were full. Right? For 2 weeks, people begin to cry out to God, we need help. I'm telling you, even 23 years ago, there was a morality in America that's no longer here. So our soul is being vexed. Our soul is being poisoned because of the lifestyle that's around us. God wants to protect us, and God wants to deliver us, and God wants to get it out of our minds so that we hear his voice. He says, the rest of that verse says, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for that day. So you may be going through the battle of your life right now. And you need to know the Lord knows how to deliver you. I don't care what it is. Whatever problem it is, whatever attack the devil is coming at you from, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, out of trouble. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, he says, there's no temptation that has taken you except that's common to man. You think that you're the only one that's ever had this problem. Oh, I'm so original. Oh, you're so full of pride. It's just common to man. Most of us fight the same demon. We have the same things. But listen to this. But God is faithful. Hallelujah. I could dance again. God is faithful. God's going to help you. God will not leave you in your time of need. God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. I've heard some people say, he's got more faith in me than I have in me. Because it's getting pretty hairy in here. Okay, didn't get that one, did you? He said, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The next verse then says, therefore, my beloved, free from idolatry. Free from idolatry. In other words, you make sure Jesus is number one. You make sure he is on the throne. Say, what do you mean by that? Oftentimes, Jesus gets replaced with an idol. And I'm going to say about 90% of the time, that idol is you. It could be money, it could be things, it could be women or men. It could be a lot of different things. But oftentimes, we take Jesus off the throne and we are sitting on it. We're calling the shots. Lord, this is my life. I'm going to direct it. I don't even want to say that. I don't want to call the shots for my life. I'm not smart enough to do that. I want Jesus to make, you know, the Bible says in Ephesians, it says, let the peace of the Lord rule and reign in your life. You know what that means, rule and reign? It means to umpire. That's it. Let the peace of God umpire your life. What's that mean? It means when you're going to make a decision, if your peace leaves you, stop. Don't make that decision. The Lord has given you a warning. Hey, I'm not in this one. I'm telling you, we make all kinds of decisions without consulting him. He knows your tomorrow and you don't know this afternoon. Okay. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. You're trying to defeat the devil through your own intellect. You're trying to medicate the devil. You can't medicate a spiritual problem. You need deliverance. You know, God is in the deliverance business. You hear me? God will deliver you from those things that are attacking you and holding you back. But why? You've got to understand, God is faithful. God hasn't left me. He's right here with me. I'm not alone. I'm not going through this by myself. He's with me. Whatever your battle, sometimes our battles are similar. Sometimes they're total. I've never smoked a joint. I've never drank alcohol. That ain't my battle. But I know in this room, that's a battle for many. God wants to know he will deliver you. He will wipe that away from you. He will remove the shame of the decisions that you have made in the past, and you can go free in Jesus Christ. One of the ugliest sins there is pride. Thinking you're all that. Some of you can't even lift your hands in the house of God. Oh, hallelujah. Why? Because I'm afraid somebody's looking at me. That's pride. Ain't nobody looking at you. People really don't care that much. The last thing I want to bring to you is what he told these people. They said, tell us about what you... And he starts with their history and takes them all up. And he said, this man Jesus, he's teaching you about forgiveness of sins. I love that. He's teaching you justification and redemption. And can I say this? The message of God is the same today as it was when Paul was preaching. The message of Jesus is there is forgiveness of sin. The devil wants to tell you a lie, and he tells you you're never going to be any different than you are right now. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Don't let him paint your future. You let God show you who you are. Right? I'm telling you, the devil takes a picture of you. I call it photographic thinking. The devil takes a picture of you on your worst day, and then he throws it up to you constantly, saying, see this? Everybody knows who you are. Everybody knows the scoundrel you are, and it's not going to get any better than that. And you're listening to that voice. You need to tell the devil to take a hike. Get on back to hell where you belong. I will be successful in Jesus Christ. Romans 8, 2 through 4. Now, he remember, he was speaking to Jews who knew the law. And he says this in Romans, not at the same time. He said, the law, the spirit of life. That's good enough right there to stop. The law of the spirit of life. You see, when you accepted Jesus, life came into your body. The Holy Spirit came into you, and he brought life. Say, well, I don't feel that. Well, quit walking by your feelings. Let's just take the word of God as truth. He says, and Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his son, his own son, in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. In other words, what you were not able to do for yourself, Jesus did for you. He bore the price. He paid your penalty. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. Did you hear the first few words? There are wages to sin. For the wages of sin is death. Verse 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's nobody in here that's not a sinner. You may be a saint today because you've accepted Christ, but every one of us was a sinner at one time. In Romans chapter 5, it's one of my favorite portions of Scripture. He says, therefore, having been justified, remember what Jesus came preaching? Forgiveness of sin and justification. You've been justified. Jesus paid your price for the penalty of your sin. He paid. Justified means this. Listen to this. I love it. Declared righteous. He declared over you that you are now righteous. So what does that do for us? Let's go on. He says that we've been declared righteous by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The fact that God came, sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sin so that now you have peace with God. No more torment. You can lay your head down on a pillow at night and go to sleep. You're not tormented by your past. But the exciting thing to me is now he has given us access into this grace. He's given us access into this favor of God. Remember what I started off saying? There was a time in Jewish history where one man, one time a year, went into the presence of God. Today, as a justified believer, as a made righteous believer, you have God's permission to come into his presence anytime you want. Amen. He says this. He says, come boldly. Why? Why would he say come boldly? Because you are a son. You're a daughter of God. You don't come sheepishly. You don't come with shame on your face. I've been forgiven. I've been declared righteous. So now I can come into the presence of God. He said, come boldly into the throne of grace. He calls his throne grace. Come boldly into the throne of favor and make your request known to God, where you will receive grace and mercy in your time of need. Anybody need something today? God says, come on, come on. Let's talk together. Let's dwell together for a little while. You need to know his thoughts. You need to feel his spirit. This young man gave his heart to Jesus last week. He is so different today than he was a week ago. Wednesday night, we were having service and Treva opened the altars up for some people to pray. And he goes up and prays for them. I'm like, go, Grant, go. And then he come back and he looked at me and he grabbed me and hugged me. And I thought, that's salvation. Amen. You remember when you got saved? When you got saved, you wanted to hug everybody's neck, didn't you? Why? Because the love of God was shed abroad. God began to move in your heart full of love. That's salvation. That's genuine. I'm telling you, God wants good for his believers. But you got an enemy. You got an enemy. And he's talking. Don't listen. Don't listen to that old liar. When the devil's lips are moving, he's lying. Don't listen to him. Would you stand with me? Treva, come to the piano. Does everyone have... does everyone have elements today to take communion? If you, we are a body of Christ that believe in open communion. So if you're visiting with us today and you're born again and you want to receive communion with us, we want you to. So it's up to you what you do. But we want you to receive this. So this morning I ordered the wrong communion stuff again. And I'm pretty sure that they sealed these things with super glue. So they are tight on there. But today, I'm very specific in some things that I felt like the Lord wanted me to share with you. First, the Bible tells us these are the elements of our faith. These are the elements of our covenant. See, God's cut a covenant with us. And the covenant is cut in his body and his blood. And so these things, as we do this, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and the life of Christ. This is not a formality. You hear me? This is not a formality. We're not going through this. I don't care if we do take it every week. It's never a formality. It's always the preciousness of, it's a worship service. We need to recognize that. And so the Bible says that don't take it unworthy. In other words, if there's sin in your life, you need to be praying right now. Father, forgive me. As I take these elements, I want to do it in right standing with you. But I also believe that means take it full of faith. Take it believing God. Now see, when I talked to you earlier, I know the Lord told me to say some things. And I know there are some open doors right now. That's allowing, and some of you may think, I don't know why Satan is getting so much control in my life. It's because you left a door open. You ever tried to heat your house with the doors open? It's not very effective. You got to close the door. And so we're going to pray today that God helps you close some doors and that God closes those doors. As we begin, we're going to take the bread, which is symbolic of the body of Christ, which was broken for you. Now, if you're going to take this today, let's take it full of faith. Let's believe God. The Bible says it's by his stripes we were healed, right? There's a promise with the broken. See, his body was broken so yours could be healed. So why not stand in that? Why not believe that? So if you're sick in body, if there's anything going on in your heart or mind today that you say, God, I need your healing touch. Let's believe God for it right now. Father, I come before you, Lord. Before we take this bread, we recognize the price that you paid with your body. Lord, we know that you are fully man and fully God. And we don't take anything away from either one. God, I believe that you felt every bit of the pain, every bit of the suffering, Lord. Lord, the Bible says that you sweat drops of blood in anticipation of what was going to happen. You knew what was going to happen, and your body is just like mine. You felt it, and yet you conquered it. So, Father, as we begin to take this, I pray for this body today to go in healing, to be made whole today. It's by your stripes, Peter said, that by your stripes we were healed. So I pray today as we take this, we believe in the healing touch of God all over this congregation, Father. Move by your Spirit and heal our bodies, heal our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take this together. The second element is grape juice, represents the blood of Christ. We had a doctor in our congregation one time, and he was asked to pray over this. And he said, it's in the blood that we have life. It's in the blood that oxygen travels to every part of your body. It's in the blood that you have your DNA, right? It's in the blood that we receive forgiveness of sin. Amen. Let's celebrate the blood of Jesus that was not spilled, but was poured out for you. Amen. Let's take it together. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else
like you. Yes, you
are great. Yes, you are.
You do miracles so great.
Hallelujah.
There is
no one else like you. Time. Let's praise him going out.
You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we magnify your name.
You deserve the glory and
as we magnify your name, for you are great.
You do miracles so great. Oh, yeah.
There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Yes, you are great.
You do miracles. Again, you need to ask Jesus into your heart. You need to ask him to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart. And if you're I just feel like some people need to pray today and ask him for his forgiveness. Father God, I pray for this congregation. Thank you for each and every one of them. Lord, if there's one here that does not know you as their Savior and Lord, I pray, God, that they would say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Forgive me of my sin and come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Open my ear to hear the voice of Jesus and close the ear of the enemy to my soul. God, for those that are born again, but yet they're living a defeated life, God, I pray and I speak victory in Jesus' name. God, you said that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Lord, right now, I come before you on behalf of this congregation, and I ask, Lord, that you would forgive us of our willful sin. Forgive us of sin. God, I pray, Lord, remove it from our life. Give us the mind of Christ so that we think the thoughts of Christ. God, I come against depression and discouragement and self-defeating thoughts, God. And I pray, Lord, if we have the mind of Christ, that we see ourselves as victors in the Lord. God, help us to forgive ourselves as you have forgiven us already. God, help us to give you permission to begin to cleanse our heart and minds. God, you said that you would work things in our life as we work things out of our life. God, I pray, Lord, let that process begin even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Denny, would you come and dismiss? Pardon me? Yeah.
I came in this morning. I have missed several Sundays and about 4 weeks, I think. And I've been kind of on an assignment. I came in weak. I came in crying. I came in tired, emotionally distraught. And I knew the Lord said inside me, go to the purest man in this building. I know you're pure, but you're not as pure as that man behind the pulpit. I went to Eric and I said, you've got to pray for me today, right now. And he did. He did. He asked me for strength. He asked God to give me strength. And I want you to know, before I got back to that seat, my eyes dried up. I felt whole. And I felt like worshiping God again, raising my hand and giving Him glory, for I was cleaned once again. My thoughts straightened up. I say this because I want you to know, don't hesitate and ask God for what you need, because He wants to give it to you, and you just have to let it out and ask Him, because He's the purest of all. Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Over the other building. Okay. Wonderful, wonderful service. Don't forget, next week, we're back to what? One service. So we're going to do it in the other building, right? So part of that, I need your help today, if I could. If you could help us move these chairs over there. Now, I know he was talking a little bit about pride earlier, so I was going to make a joke about how many chairs I can carry, but I'm not going to do that. So I encourage you, if you're able to help carry some chairs over to the other building, we would really appreciate the help. That'll help us get this cleaned out of here so that they don't get messy and they're ready for us next week, right? So Sunday school at what time?
9 o'clock.
Service at what time?
10 o'clock.
What else happens next Sunday? Time change. Very good. All right. Raise your hand. Receive the Lord's blessing. If you hadn't been blessed enough already, I'll bless you a little more. May the Lord bless you and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace, with nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. Carry a chair. Amen.